Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Esprit Radio. You're listening to Esprit Radio.
Welcome to the neighborhood.
That's right. Welcome to our neighborhood. Welcome to Black on Black Crime, our point counterpoint program where we talk issues, news. Sometimes we play a game or two, but we don't do crime. If you're not familiar with our program, Black on Black Crime is when black people overtly focus, criticize, or analyze other black people in areas they won't consider anyone else. You can join in on today's topic by calling in or sending your comments in the chat room. With that being said, on with the show. Welcome again to Black on Black Crime. I'm your host, Jerome. We're coming up on our one-year anniversary, but we haven't planned anything in particular yet for that. We'll let you know what's coming on. Now, if this is your first time tuning in, Black on Black Crime is when black people overtly focus, criticize, or analyze other black people in areas they won't consider anyone else. On this program, CNN's Don Lemon versus CEO music mogul Russell Simmons. We have a special heartbeat prop. We sometimes do a break inspired by the Digital Underground song Heartbeat Props, where you talk about people while they're living, give them props while they're living. So this time we're talking, we have KRS-One featured. Now, we're not featuring his music. We're featuring a talk that he gave at the University of California, or the California State University of Fresno, Fresno State, 40 years of hip-hop. So we'll take a break and listen to a little bit of that. Fox columnist, or Fox sports columnist, compared Rosa Parks to the Heisman Trophy winner. Uncle Ruckus Watts. It's featuring Lee Daniels, director Lee Daniels, you know, Precious, The Butler, all of that. We have entertainment news and more. And if you missed the show, or if you want to hear more of the show, you can check us out in the archives. Last week's show, former boxing champ Layla Ali versus Kanye West, DMC, Daryl McDaniels versus Jay-Z, Lil Wayne, Ayanna Van Zant made some comments, and we had a George Duke break with the passing of George Duke. I'll probably play a little bit of George Duke again today. So if you want to check that in the archives, you can go into Esprit Radio, www.soulofsyracuse.com/BOBC. That's Black on Black Crime. Esprit Radio, soulofsyracuse.com/BOBC. And we also have, if you want to contact us through email, you can just type BOBC@soulofsyracuse.com and we'll get it. And you can also join our new Facebook page, which is BOBC Show. It's Facebook.com/BOBC Show, Black on Black Crime. Now, before we get started and get into some early news, I want to bring in Finesse. What's going on, Finesse?
I'm here. Studio.
We'll give Finesse a moment to get settled before we bring Finesse in. Let's go to Daniel, see how Daniel's doing. What's up, brother Daniel?
I'm all right. Sound like a
you laughing at Finesse?
He's getting a coffee.
Come here. It does. Like, I'll let you know when I'm ready. I'm moving.
I'm trying to, you know, do that show. Make
coffee. Well, at least it doesn't sound like he's running, because that would be a whole other show. He's like, what's
right.
Where is Finesse and what's going on? So, yeah, you know, I usually will bring him in this early, so that might have done it too. So we usually just kind of do some news. And last week, you know, we missed the commissioner's birthday. Last week was Kathleen's birthday. So,
and, flag!
We automatically going to get a flag for that one. Oh, man. All right. How you doing, Daniel?
I'm doing well. And yourself?
I'm good. You know, we have a lot of news. Oh, you know, also, last week, I didn't mention that coming up was Whitney Houston's. This would have been Whitney Houston's 50th birthday. That's legendary singer Whitney Houston. She was born on August 9th, One of the main things that stand out to me, you know, amongst all the other, you know, Grammy Music Award kind of Soul Train stuff that she did and received, and the number of record sales that she had, Billboard, she was the first major artist to visit and perform in South Africa after the country broke from apartheid. Houston held a concert to celebrate the country's freedom following Nelson Mandela's winning the election. So, you know, I always remember her for that. You know, she came out and she was very much in it. She loved being a part of that. I always think about that when I think of Whitney Houston. And also, while I'm at it, former president of South Africa, Nelson Mandela, has been in the hospital for 2 months for treatment of a recurring lung infection, and his health is looking up. Now, Mandela's youngest daughter said that her father's health was improving daily, and he was able to sit up for a few minutes at a time. In a statement released from the current South African president from his office, they said the former president is making slow but steady improvement. So stop watching major media. For some reason, those folks like reporting bad news. Every time you see the news, there's always something negative about Mandela. I don't know why. Well, I do know why. I just don't want to say why. See, I'm being nice today, Daniel. See how that goes? Got to have some balance. And also, Nasir Jones, is apparently watching the news. He saw a story about a father with a lot of children who lost their home due to a fire. He decided to help, and Nas ended up raising over $20,000 for the family, and he's still raising money for them. So I just want to give a shout-out to Nas. I want to acknowledge that, because sometimes in our negative culture of hip-hop and criticizing those guys all the time, nobody talks about the fact that this should be a big news story, that Nas came out and started raising some money for him. So, Finesse, what's going on, man?
I heard what Daniel said. I heard you.
Okay.
Man, it sounds like somebody was grabbing hold of you.
I do 18 million things at once. And I text Rome, and I said, don't put me on until I raise my hand. And so I'm in the middle of trying to not get hit heading to the studios by a car. And I'm getting on the air. I'm trying to grab my headpiece, trying to talk, trying to watch traffic.
Oh, wait a minute. I got your text. I'm just joking. This is my fault. I had to start the show, so I was on the move. So, my bad. So,
What's up, family?
Did you hear the Nas story? Isn't that a good story to actually talk about, opposed to all this negative stuff that we hear about hip hop? That he's raising money.
Yeah, and he also there was something else that he did. Either they're teaching a class based on him in college or something. It was a good week for Nas.
There was a couple of things that happened with Nas. He had some good press, but again, the culture is not focusing on good news stories. But Nas is contributing, and I think he went down to Florida, too, in support their protest about the Stand Your Ground as well. The NCAA announced that it will stop selling players' jerseys and memorabilia through their website. Now, you know
no.
that's all criminal.
Really?
Listen to the press release like it was some really noble cause. Now, we know they criminalize athletes for accepting money, and yet nothing wrong with them making hundreds of millions of dollars off the athletes' merchandise. We knew this. Licensing, advertisement. The business of having the NCAA sell those kind of goods is a mistake, is what they said, and we are going to exit from that business immediately, is what the NCAA president said on a call with reporters. He said that it is not something that is core to the NCAA is what they're about, so it probably shouldn't never been in that business. I could name some other businesses y'all shouldn't be in if you need some help with that.
From the white people's language, what a bunch of malarkey. They're going to find out some kind of way, because that's a lot of money they're going to be losing. But, you know, we've been saying this for years, that the NCAA, nothing but big pimps, and they're making money off the back of these kids. These kids should be getting some money. If it wasn't for the fact that our man at ESPN, he put him on blast. That's how that whole thing came
right.
forth. But the NCAA is supposedly a nonprofit. But how do you profit $5 billion a year?
Oh, wait. You're not even including the bowl setup that they just set up, the championship. That's another couple of billion dollars. They were making $5 billion before they just cut this new deal in the championship football structure.
Yeah.
That's another couple of billion dollars.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Is like, you know, people can say what they want to say. All the kids are getting scholarships. That's nothing. because if kids get into
that is nothing.
Scholarships, their jersey sales alone, they should be putting back, they should get 10, 20, 30% of that. They were getting none of that. And shout out to Ed O'Banion for pushing this in forward
right.
And over the last, I don't know, 7, 8 years been criticized, saying he's messing things up. But now he stands to be vindicated. And actually,
well, wait, and for his lawsuit to
yes.
them, but I want to read in between the lines of this just to remind you that they were specific. They said memorabilia through their website. They're still going to make a killing off of the jerseys of people in merchandising. They didn't, they're not giving that up. They're saying we're not going to sell it. But you can buy it from other people and we'll still reap our royalties.
And you, because here's the thing. All those logos and images are the NCAA. So if you see them on another website, look very closely at the fine print. Because it's approved by the NCAA, so they're going to find
no,
ways to make money.
Oh, they'll just pull up another, they'll create another website. They're going to make that
of
money.
Of course.
Right. So they need to get sued for racketeering, and that's what the problem is. That Congress and those guys let, like Major League Baseball, go on with racketeering of sporting leagues and act like they have no oversight jurisdiction. They need to come in and break up the NCAA. You know what I mean?
On the NCAA.
Oh, right. That's true. We know where this is going because NCAA got a problem.
It's a joke. Major League Baseball is a joke in itself. And I'll give it to those leagues, but when you look at Major League Baseball, how in the world are you going to suspend, condemn players for a rule that never was in place? So I could care less if they took steroids. That's on them. Now, I don't want the high school and young kids to take it. So, yeah, pass the
right.
for that. But you didn't,
right.
have a, you didn't have a rule in place, so 90% of the league was using steroids. And you tell me now, you know, from the reporters, because the reporters knew, the owners definitely knew, so you're going to leave these people out here by themselves to stand out on the land, prosecute them, and then don't want them in the Hall of Fame? The only one I don't feel sorry for is Alex Rodriguez because he got caught once before. And they changed the rule, and you knew the rule. But as far as everybody else, they should be in the Hall of Fame.
I guess he didn't think he was going to get caught.
I don't know what he caught, but he messed up my game.
They had the argument back in the day. Remember they were talking about the ball was more tightly wound, which is why they were having more home runs and all this
mm-hmm.
craziness. Guys had never hit over 20 home runs or hitting 51 and 48
mm-hmm.
home runs.
Right.
Like, okay, you know, so it's all about the long ball.
Right.
And then when Congress got involved, now it's baseball. It's like, okay, now we got some accountability. Somebody's holding us accountable. And like you said, now the guys are being held out, being left out to dry. Because that was the standard.
Right.
Everybody was juicing.
Right.
Oh,
so how are you going to punish people and tell them they can't get into the Hall of Fame or make them look bad? When I see that on sports, I turn the channel. Because a lot of these sports reporters, you know, you're in the locker room. You develop a friendship with teams that you cover. So you know who's doing what.
And more than that, Mark Aguirre was a poster child for that. I'll give A-Rod a pass because Mark Aguirre, he still works for baseball, right? So they let him out, and then they let him work inside of a baseball. He's like a batting coach or something. That dude was taking steroids, and it was obvious.
Well,
oh, man.
This is his whole team. They said that because he apologized. You got to apologize.
Oh, man.
What am I apologizing for when I made you do?
It's like I say about apologies. Black people can't apologize. White folks can get forgiven for anything. They can shoot you, and everybody in your family be like, oh, my bad. And they go, well, he apologized. There is like zero tolerance for black folks, but white folks, they can apologize.
The gun was fired. He didn't mean to shoot him in the heart.
They can apologize.
We didn't mean to tie him to that bumper and drag him around the road.
Oh, he said he was
sorry, just playing. We was just
exactly.
playing.
Who knew? Now, there's a website that popped up. I don't know if this is a joke, probably a joke, but it's Black Friends Connect website, and it kind of says that it rents out black actors in the L.A. area to hang out with white folks, right? So the white folks offer an online forum for folks to request a black friend. So if you want a black person to hang out with.
Is
like,
that a real website,
For business. Well, you know, I think it's made up. I saw some of the comments and stuff on it. because it just seemed kind of weird. But it was like, yeah, I had a business meeting, and it did make me look a little bit more diverse to have more minorities in the room kind of thing. But I'm thinking, you got to be one dumb person to actually go on a website to think you can get a black friend by paying for it.
Well, we're talking about L.A.
Hey,
you're in the acting, you might
man.
Do it.
Oh, right.
If you can set your
right.
price,
LA.
You can set your price. I'll be your friend for 10 G's.
Oh, wait a minute. And it did say black actors. So you ain't just getting a friend. You're getting somebody who's acting like y'all close.
Right.
I'm sorry.
I mean,
oh, wow.
Because they need a job. They're out there in L.A. It's hard out there. So I could see that. Now, if you do it, that's stupid. But, hey.
But you can see it.
I can see it.
But it's like I can understand what you do.
Yeah. I mean, hey, why don't you give him the email address? We'll be your friend and let you come on the show for a day, as long as you pay.
Oh, no, you gotta pay for it, though. This is not a free service.
It.
Yeah. So it's on their tagline says, find your very own black friend today, is what the tagline on the website is. That is hilarious.
Wow.
I'm sorry. I think it's hilarious. Now, maybe it's not a joke, but listen. Here's what the options are, because there's a checkbox option. Like, you can have a professional, an intellectual, a high roller, like a personality of, like, a righteous person or just a nice guy. Of course, they had the thug kind of thing, but they kind of phrased it. Well, I think they did say thug, but they said you can have the type of personality that you need to prove the point. They are at this.
It probably said in, and then they changed it.
No, there was. If we're gonna get into that anyway, talking about people using the N word, especially in our Uncle Ruckus watch. But I just want to remind everybody, you're listening to Black on Black Crime. Our topic today on Black on Black Crime, our main topic, is Don Lemon versus Russell Simmons. They're going back in their conversations again. And we have Heartbeat Props, where we're going to talk about KRS-One. I'm going to play a clip from, this is going to be dope, though, Finesse, when he talks about the history of hip-hop.
He's going to kill me, because they've been contacting me to set up to do an interview about the temple of hip-hop and possibly do some things in Baltimore. And I've just been so good. I'm sorry, KRS.
He knocks it out the park. You know, after our quick break, we're going to come back. I want to talk about this columnist from Fox Sports, since we already talked about the NCAA. She made a comparison. Now, she's not black, so this is not black on black crime, but she still is crazy. A comparison to Rosa Parks and the Heisman Trophy winner, saying, like, he's kind of like Rosa Parks of getting people to do something in the NCAA. I don't know why people do that, but it just seems kind of crazy. Go on the Facebook page. It's Facebook BOBC Show. BOBC Show. That's Black on Black Crime. BOBC Show on Facebook. You can go on there and get it done. Okay? So we'll monitor that at some point. I'm not even on there yet, but it's there. And you can breathe on that, Finesse. I am on my job. It's open.
I just want to stop calling. Stop texting me. Try to hold the show.
Oh, man. They're like, stop bugging Finesse. Finesse, you should have sent them a link.
I should have what?
Should have sent the link.
I was trying to send that answer. That's what I asked for.
Asked if it was open? Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right. BOBC Show on Facebook. Go check it out. You listen to Black on Black Crime. We'll take a break and come right back. 909-265-9189. All right, we'll be right back.
Welcome to Esprinet News, 90-second news break. Former Pro Bowl quarterback Donovan McNabb holds nearly every franchise record for the Philadelphia Eagles. He is officially retired as an Eagle. Now his jersey will be retired in a separate ceremony during the upcoming season. He said, if you want to be great, make the man next to you greater. An African-American 4-year-old girl who can recite the capital of every country claims to be smarter than her parents. She has become the newest member of the Genius Club, Mensa. Anala Beavers from New Orleans, Louisiana, scored more than 145 in her standardized IQ test, putting her in the top 1% of the population. The New York City Police Department has released an official memo informing all police officers that it is not illegal for women to walk around the city shirtless, and they should not be cited for public lewdness or indecent exposure. The order given, which states that baring one's chest in public is legal for women and men. As it's become a symbol of race relations in America, now the Smithsonian National Museum of African American History, their director, wants the hoodie from Trayvon Martin. There you have it. I'm Jerome Esprit for EspritNet News on ACN.
Dove Men Plus Care presents How to Stay in Shape. Step one, gotta work those arms.
How was it?
Good. Step two, keep those legs strong. And step three, don't forget your back. Dove Men Plus Care. Care for what matters.
Introducing the all-new 2013 Nissan Pathfinder.
Hi.
It seats seven.
Hi.
Or two. And with a 13-speaker Bose sound system and newly redesigned exterior, you'll go everywhere in style.
Hi.
And Pathfinder's tri-zone entertainment system.
My movie just ended. Ours too.
Keeps everyone entertained. The all-new Nissan Pathfinder. It's our most innovative Pathfinder ever.
All right, welcome back to Black on Black Crime. Our dialing number is 909-265-9189. That's 909-265-9189. We're on with Finesse. What's up, Finesse? See if I got him on.
Yeah, I'm here.
All right, Finesse and Daniel.
Hello, 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 hello.
You know, the board is moving a little slow. It's not my fault. I should have played that.
Uncle Rook is here.
All right, we have Uncle Ruckus coming up, and that's featuring Lee Daniels. Lavinia will be glad to hear that. Lee Daniels has made Uncle Ruckus wise today. Here's a story that I just want to talk about before we get into our main topic. A columnist from Fox Sports made the comparison of Rosa Parks and Johnny Manziel, right? The Texas A&M quarterback and Heisman Trophy winner, who they keep calling Johnny Football Manziel, landed in hot water after he's accused of getting paid for signing autographs, and that's a direct violation of the strict standards of that amateur sport, is what they said. It states the athletes are not to be paid, compensated, nor given favor for service. Now, it is Johnny Football is what this woman is saying, and no, this is not intended to be any way to be compared with the evils of John Crow to the incompetence of the NCAA investigation or its TV commentators. But she says, once upon a time in this country, there were ugly racist rules that dictated where black people can sit on the bus. There were all kinds of these laws actually created and defended by races who benefited by them. What kickstarted change was an average, everyday woman. This is this white woman talking. Sorry for doing that. But she said this everyday woman named Rosa Parks, who had grown tired of being tired. She was not the first, nor was she particularly the best at protesting. It was merely the tipping point for many Americans long since tired of these immoral acts. It is intended to say wrong is wrong. Why so many come to Texas A&M Johnny Manziel's defense after a ticket broker went to ESPN with allegations that he broke some rules and accepted payment for his autographs. We recognize it's hard for me to get through this because she is just so foul, but she was saying it's just absurd of the system where everyone can make money off these kids except for these kids. So the writer's name is Jean Floyd Engel.
You can write her all you want to and curse her out for all I care. She's a columnist of Fox Sports. But her comparison to say she's just some ordinary woman who made a difference, Johnny Manziel is not no ordinary kid. That kid is rich. So don't compare the rich guy to racism and what she probably went through every day of her life opposed to this little – I'm sorry. I'll let one of you guys go first because I'm about to cuss out. Finesse, you could go in on this. But this is Jen Floyd Ingo reporting.
Someone who used to work for Fox, not surprised. It's just stupid. It's just stupid. There's really nothing else to say about it. I don't even want to give her that much. She already got her 15 minutes of fame.
Yeah, you know what? I shouldn't even said her name.
It's just ignorant. And I'm not mad at Johnny. You know, his family is rich. He made a business move. And I don't care if his family wasn't rich. He still should be getting, we've already discussed this just briefly in the last six.
Oh.
He should be getting paid for his signature. That's really all I have to say on that.
Yep, not mad at him at all. Daniel, do you want to comment on this?
I'm still not clear on what she said.
Just to paraphrase it, she was saying that Rosa Parks was this ordinary woman who made a big change, and then the change was made.
In other words, she's trying to say that Johnny Football is the Rosa Parks of the NCAA, and that through him, change is going to happen. But you know, his making money and somebody having civil rights, you can't compare them. So it's just stupid on her part. It's stupid for the producer, director, whoever that allowed this clown to stay. So basically, she's an idiot.
Right.
That's why I can't really comment because it doesn't make sense. I'm trying to figure out what struggle did he go through.
Okay, but the reason I'm bringing this up.
The struggle to cash that check.
The reason I'm bringing this up is that is so damn offensive, right? That she's downplaying Rosa Parks to this. Like this is a doggone sport and it's money. This woman could have lost her life, and you're downplaying. Matter of fact, she is not getting any more attention from me. That's it. I'm done. It's just kind of sick that every now and then we go through this in society that we have to go back and defend people who made a difference to saying, all they did, I mean, they just sat there. She was just tired. She didn't want to do nothing. Do you know, lady, that bus boycott was for a year? That's how much committed everybody was to it. It didn't just happen.
Wow. That's a lot of walking, bro.
That was a lot of walking, but I'm saying that was commitment for your butt. That's all I was saying.
Yeah.
Don't act like it that people just did that to, you know, again, there are cultural differences, and black-on-black crime here, we sometimes identify cultural differences and say, mind your business, and sometimes we don't. But this time, I'm saying mind your business. I don't care what anybody else says. I'm not going to say her name anymore on this show, but still. And I may edit it out later, but
for our people out there, she
was wrong for that.
I didn't want to give her nothing because she was just dumb.
Okay, move on from her because I think that is just a little bit irritating me. So you're listening to Black on Black Crime.
You know what? We need the idiot of the day.
We would do that, but I think Lee Daniels is taking up our Uncle Ruckus watch. Do you want to go into that?
We can always have Uncle Ruckus, but we need the idiot of the day.
Let me put that down because somebody's going to make idiot of the day. And, you know, have you figured out that it's always happening on sports shows? I'm not understanding why people think they can say and do whatever they want. Because you and I, last week we talked about this.
Sports shows or entertainment shows?
Sports mainly, but sports entertainment. I mean, either way. But remember, we didn't talk about this last week, about who was the Philadelphia Eagle player who did the N-word on YouTube or whatever?
That idiot gets nothing from me because his players – and the rest of the so-called N-words that he called them, they're going to play against him, they'll take care of that on the field. There's no need for me to address that. And if you think it's not going to happen, then you're stupid as well.
He's a Cowboy fan, too, so he really, he's going to be.
Yeah,
we're going to see him twice.
Yeah, boy.
Can you say DeMarcus Ware? He old big country one at that.
So the two Cowboy fans. Not only are they not going to cheer for you, kid who had the N-word rant, they're going to be taking side bets on this one. He probably won't even play. They'll probably cut him. It'll bring too much negative attention.
They're so hurt and
you think so?
They'll keep him. They'll keep
he's going to be on the team. He's the number two receiver right now.
Yeah. He just couldn't get woke up. And you know what? It's worth the fine. It's worth the fine.
Hey, like Daniel said, when Michael Vick leads him by just a little too much across the middle, I bet you there becomes a new one.
I wouldn't be surprised if Michael Vick don't throw to him. I didn't know you were
going to. He going to open him up. He going to throw it a little bit too long coming across that middle, and everybody in the NFL is going to have a new rule saying that people are trying to hurt him. I say this
NFL,
he hurt himself.
Yeah, well, the NFL is already looking into it, and they have already said that there's going to be fines or this and that. Well, whatever. You're going to have to get out your checkbook, because I'm telling you now, there are ways that things like that get handled regardless of what people think is going to be handled.
Between the lines, handle it.
On the sideline, in the locker room. I feel sorry for him. I bet you won't go to more concerts.
But he likes country music. All right, so
I'll drop this fence and I'll take on every one of them boys in here.
I just want to say this. I know that, you know, I like country. I wouldn't go to it. Well, that's a lie. I have been going to country. But, I know there's black people that go to it. I don't want to sound ignorant. I know there's black people that go to country music.
Charlie Pride.
But it couldn't have been that many black folks in the front row blocking him that he had to make that statement.
One security guard. But he felt comfortable. And I'm telling you, there's a lot of black cowboys. I don't know, Dan, you've been to Rhinestone? I've been there back in the days in Houston, so I'm telling you right now that black folks...
He's about to get messed up.
Black folks are around country like everybody else. So... Hey, I don't feel sorry for him at all, so don't expect any sympathy. No sympathy here. All right, so you listen to Black on Black Crime. You can join us, 909-265-9189. We are not going to take a break, but we are going to go directly into our main topic, music mogul Russell Simmons, or I want to say this is CNN Don Lemon versus Russell Simmons. Now, the reason I'm going straight into this is because since it's been such a, you know, Don Lemon made our Uncle Ruckus watch, right? Then Russell Simmons sent out a letter, an open letter that Finesse liked so much to Don Lemon.
He should be on Uncle Watch, too.
Oh, no, I think he's been on there before. But, you know, nobody's immune from the Uncle Ruckus watch. All it means is that you are teetering on the side of banishment when you do that. When you get on Uncle Ruckus watch, you need to pull it back a little bit. So you're not permanently banished from being on the Uncle Ruckus. It's a watch list, but it's not your banishment yet. That would be saved for people like Tavis, but we're not going to even go through that right now. Now, so Don Lemon responded to Russell, and Russell just pretty much said, hey, you need to look deeply into these issues before you start critiquing your five things what black people need to do. So here's what Don Lemon said. Black people need to stop sagging your pants and dress appropriately, stop saying the N-word, stop having babies out of wedlock, stop littering, and stay in school. That's what he said. So Russell kind of lit into him, and Don's response was, we are in crisis right now. You of all people need to understand what I'm saying and what you're doing. So first, you say, I sound like a conservative host or pulling strings writing. You write this, conservatives love it when we blame ourselves for the condition that we have destroying the fabric of the black community. My response is, you should take that up with a conservative or a liberal or somebody who is concerned about political affiliation in this particular situation. That does not save lives. It shouldn't matter if someone is black, white, brown, purple, green, Democrat, or Republican. If the truth they speak is saving lives, then no matter their intentions or backgrounds, we should listen, attack the problem, and not the messenger. Anybody want to take that? Because he should be on Uncle Ruckus watch for that. Mm. If he's saying no matter if somebody's black, white, brown, purple, we're not talking about all of them. So stop trying to deflect, Don Lemon. You claim being black. When you start talking to black people, own it.
Well, Daniel, you want to go first because there's some things I got to say. and I know I'm going to get a
go ahead, man. Go ahead, man.
Fortunately, and you guys know how I feel about open letters. I just think they're stupid. But I had the chance to read Russell Simmons' letter. Mm-hmm. He made some really valid points. Then today, I watched Lemon on CNN, his no reply or whatever they called it. And he actually answered and made some great points and said some things. He did call Russell Simmons out. And one of the things, you know, Russell Simmons had said in a letter, he said, "I want little black kids to be like you, Don Lemon." And Don Lemon corrected him and said, I want black boys and black girls to be better than you." So, and this is the kind
that
of guy.
Sucks.
And this is why I don't like open letters. I keep telling you folks, you have these open letters, and now you're feuding in public. You're giving white media all kinds of goodies to treat, so they can just run with you. This is the kind of thing that needs to happen behind closed doors. If you got beef, let's talk about it. Let's not air this mess in the public. It's just dumb. So for me, stay focused, because if you pick up the phone, you know, pick up the phone and call each other. Get in your jet, Russell, and go see them. You know, I just don't like it. Now, if you want to talk about Spike Lee and what he did to that little white girl on the news, that's great.
Hey, no. That's a flag on you. Hey.
Two, Uncle Russell,
I don't know what
Uncle
Spike
Russell
Lee did to no little white girl on the news. It ain't that show.
I'm just saying, that's
a flag.
And you know, that's
a flag because you're deflecting.
And I respect.
We're talking about Don Lemon.
They both get the gas face and the Uncle Walker's watch.
All right, Daniel, I'll let you go before you.
I don't know. I'm torn on this because I understand about keeping it in house and talking about this amongst ourselves, but the conversation does need to be had. You know, and where do you go to have this conversation where it actually gets some ears? You know, do we have enough outlets that even speak on black issues, much less to address something that can be as caustic as this? So I don't know where he would have gone. I mean, how many ties does he have to black media? You know, in whose ears could he whisper Don Lemon? In whose ears
Don
could
Lemon
he whisper
did that on
this
CNN?
Point? I know where he did. I know where he did it, but I'm saying where could he have done it, quote unquote, in house, and who would have been the person to carry that message?
Well, I can answer.
We don't really have anybody in our community that speaks for us. Period.
Well, here's the problem. I don't want to get into that because that's a whole other thing. But here's the thing: you can get together. Other nationalities and groups do it all the time. They get together, they have their behind closed doors, and then they unify. Or if there's a disagreement, they say, "Well, you handle this, and we'll back you. We just won't say nothing this time." That's where we have to get to the point. And in open letters, it's just corny. It's like a fad
okay.
now. I'm waiting
All
for
right,
an open
well,
letter on me right now from Esper. I'm gonna get an open letter from Esper, and I'm gonna be muted in a second. But I just don't like.
And that's why you're about to get muted. Actually, Lavinia is coming on because you know what? I'll let Lavinia give us some perspective on this. Lavinia, how are you? And welcome to Black on Black.
I'm okay. Can you hear me? I got a new phone. Can you hear me good?
I can hear you fine.
You upgraded to a 2001 phone.
Yeah.
Okay, don't get a flag.
You're wrong.
Don't get a flag. Yell at him first because he's trying to deflect. He's trying to take your fire.
She's on her Facebook page. Talk about she didn't want a new phone.
Yeah, I had that phone for about 5 years. I upgraded. I really didn't want to.
Now, we're talking about Don Lemon.
Mm-hmm.
Don't deflect, because Finesse has been dancing around this. Finesse has a bad habit of saying, you know, I don't like open letters. We need to sit down and talk and blah, blah, blah. And you got this fool running around here saying stuff on CNN, and somebody needs to say something. So if you
CNN.
Need.
I agree. When we talked about the first time, you was right. I'm just saying now, these two need to stop.
Well, okay, I'm going to read Russell Simmons' response, but I'm going to let Lavinia have her shot at this. Go ahead with Don Lemon.
Okay, well, the problem that I have is that he started exactly what we're doing now. We're not supposed to be talking about whether we should be having a conversation about what's wrong in the black community. We've been having that conversation. There are organizations that we've created in our community that are trying to work on the issues that we have. Unfortunately, we can't try to fix everything from the inside. We have to address the other issues that are affecting the community on the outside. And that's the original conversation that we were trying to have before O'Reilly went straight to black on black crime, and then Don Lemon came in and piggybacked it. So
exactly.
That's the entire problem that I'm having. We're still not talking. They've done a wonderful job of steering the direction of the conversation completely away from where it needs to be. We don't have a problem talking about black on black crime. Been talking about it forever, ever since it's been a problem. What we're trying to do, every time we try to say, hey, we also need to address everything else that's affecting us besides what's internal, as soon as we try to have that conversation, they do just that, and they've done it again. And now we're doing it. That's my problem.
And so that's my problem with it. It's like we are fighting amongst each other for something that is a – like there are systemic reasons why we have the outcomes, right? And so the issue is it the cause or the effect? We never deal with the cause. We deal with the effects or whatever symptoms of whatever, right? You catch a cold, then you want to take something for it, right? Instead of making sure you're healthy so you don't catch a cold. So here is Russell Simmons' reply to Don Lemon. He said, "I want to formally apologize for calling you a slave. I think you're promoting the wrong message. Happy to be on your show. Just because I wasn't available one day doesn't mean I won't ever do your show. I respect you, just disagree with you." He said he'd been on Hannity countless times. Here you go, Lavinia. "And although I disagree with mostly everything out of their mouth, I consider them my friends." Okay,
That's about crazy.
To make Uncle Ruckus watch.
That's crazy.
Sure is crazy. He said, "I am glad you responded to my letter. It's a healthy debate, but remember, we need to deal with the root of the suffering of our community before we start telling young people to not say the N-word or pull up their pants." And lastly, after the George Zimmerman verdict, "The conversation about black America should not be about the N-word and saggy pants. 40 years of locking up drug users and teaching them criminal behavior can promote jail culture. If you don't like saggy pants, use your pulpit pound in the war on drugs and promote equal high-quality education. Talk about the pipeline of our failing third graders to the prison industrial complex. Bottom line, you are born into a cycle of giving and receiving. Be connected. Meditate on union." That was Russell's response to him. Because, again, although Russell made some black-on-black crime statements in there someplace, the thought is, if you want to change it, why don't you affirm something opposed to beating people down just to pacify America's attitude towards black people. That's all I'm saying.
And I agree with that. My thing is, again, Don Lemon was wrong. Let me say this because I think people not here. Don Lemon was wrong the way he handled it the first time. 100% wrong. But don't throw fuel on the fire by doing an open letter that's going to be read on white media, and they're going to take apart what they want from it, and then you two go back and forth for another week. Go see each other. The time you took to write a letter, you could have called and went to go see each other. That's all I'm saying. The open letters,
okay.
They add more to it.
I understand where you're going with the open letter thing, but we catch up with the social media, their finesse. People are saying stuff that are way more housewives, whatever kind of reality show stuff. So they need to have those conversations and put them out there too. If nobody's returning your phone call, say something. Now, on CNN, now this is how bad Don Lemon's assessment was to black folks. CNN had somebody to counter Don Lemon, who is a white guy. Now, Don Lemon's whole, you know, stop saying the N-word, stop having babies, whatever, all of that. The white guy, the anti-racism educator, Tim Wise, had his 5 tips for white people to improve race relations or improve their conditions. And all 5 of them was telling them how to deal with black people. Stop telling black people to get over slavery. Believe black people when they say they're being profiled. Stop saying you have a black friend as a get-out-of-racism free card. And number four, confront the long legacy of white denial when it comes to racism. And five, stop using statistics incorrectly to justify prejudice. That was the guy who countered Don Lemon. How come the white guy had to counter Don Lemon?
On his
for
own
anybody
station.
Defending Don Lemon.
I said on his own station.
That was CNN countering Don Lemon.
Well, and here again, we're working in media. See how this works? It makes us look bad, and they got to say, well, look, we got to send a white. And I like Tim Wise, by the way. I have a couple of his books, and I think he's right on point with a lot of things that he said. But here you got another white guy to come to the rescue because, in their eyes, we didn't do it correctly. And this is why I said, stop doing that, because you give them stuff to see, and then they have an opening and say, we got to bail you guys out. That's why I say, stop doing that. This is a perfect example. Here, this guy got to bail you out.
Right, but
that,
it was
and
not.
That's what I'm saying it from the point from where they see it. Not how we see it, how they see it. And then they can chop it up and spin it however they want to spin it. And then we look crazy.
It was not Russell Simmons' issue for Don Lemon to come out of his mouth.
It sure wasn't.
I don't care.
It wasn't Russell Simmons. It wasn't. It, again, you keep the problem going. Russell Simmons wrote the letter, and he committed black-on-black crimes that I would have got muted for. So
right.
What you just did, you don't fight ignorance with ignorance. Not in public.
First of all, that was
that's what
okay.
You basically that's what you basically did. You both of it, and then you apologizing. So I have black white people say, oh, now they apologize. And they sit down and I'm saying this from the standpoint of working in the newsroom and how these folks and how they talk and what they say. And it's just these are calculated moves. And I just don't like them. I hate them. I'd rather if I got a problem with Esprit, I'm texting, calling.
Hey.
Messages.
Hey, don't bring. Why do you gotta bring me in this? My quantum
saying.
Don't let me do. You see, that's committing a crime right there. You putting that out
no,
in the
I'm
universe.
I'm just using
that
for an example. I'm using that for an example. I don't have no problem with you. I know where to find
you. Whatever to all of that. You're listening to Black on Black Crime. You can call in and join us 909-265-9189. I think that's Finesse that's having a call. So I'll put Finesse on mute just in case. You can call in and join us, 909-265-9189. We're talking about Russell Simmons and Don Lemon. Don Lemon said some things that kind of was, he kind of lost his mind. Lavinia, did I let you finish your thought about that? I'm sorry. I think we kind of cut you off, didn't we?
Wait a second. Did I unmute myself? Can you hear me?
You have unmuted yourself.
I don't know what I'm doing with this phone. I'm still waiting for Don Lemon to address what Russell Simmons said originally.
You know,
like,
never
he still hasn't
it.
Done it. He's never going to do it. It's always going to come back to, well, you know, these are our problems, and this is what you have to do. It's like, you can't, if you want to say people drop out of school, I really wish that he would address the fact that these schools are getting shut down. How do you keep going to school when they're shutting all the schools down? And the ones that you do stick with aren't worth a damn, so that if you do graduate, you don't know anything to get into college or to pass the SAT so that you can get into a decent college.
But Don
like,
Lemon
that's
just, was
deflected. And that's the same thing. Exactly. Mm-hmm. That's what he does. He's gotten as good as Bill O'Reilly and Sean Hannity, you know, Russell's friends, which
which makes me
I
not trust Russell, right? Which makes me not trust Russell. It's like, never mind. Okay, we'll say Russell for another day.
Trust Russell.
You said the West
Hello.
Card.
the West Card. The West Card.
Yes, dear. You said
okay.
It.
Lavinia, we normally don't
do
throw
flag
on you, but you can't just
throw
no,
flag
on myself.
I'll take her flag. I will take her flag on that.
When I saw that,
he's trying to get paid off of us too. The rush card.
I'm glad I didn't come up with that idea. It just, never mind. We're not gonna even dog rush for the. Well, we can. If that's what you guys won't do.
That's not the topic though. We're gonna stay on.
Yeah, we digress. We digress on the rush, guys. So I just want to remind everyone, you can join in, 909-265-9189. You're listening to Black on Black Crime on Esprit Radio. Remember, you can catch us in the archives as well at espritradio.soulofsyracuse.com/BOBC and on Facebook, BOBC Show. You can check out our page and like it, and we'll start, covering some things on that page as well. You know, before we go to Uncle Ruckus Watch, I think we're going to take a break before we hit the top of the hour. I want to come back. Guess what I'll do? I'll play for break. What do I want to play for break?
Rhyme or Reason.
You want to play Rhyme or Reason for break?
Cause, yeah, you know, man.
I forgot. You know, last week George Duke passed, and we did play some George Duke on the show. We kind of did a couple of profile George Duke songs. And this week I did say I was going to bring on Rhyme or Reason, didn't I?
Yeah, man.
Right, Dan? Okay. So,
yes, sir.
Okay, so we're going to play a little bit of Rhyme or Reason and take a break and come back, because KRS-One, let me sum this up first. KRS-One spoke at the University of Fresno, State University College at Fresno. I guess that's California. And he talked about the 40 years of hip-hop. And when we talk about history and always letting other people define what your history is, KRS-One lays it out. So I'm going to play a clip of KRS-One just kind of talking about the history of hip-hop. But I guess we should take a quick Rhyme or Reason break before we go into our history, per Daniel's request.
Please, sir. Thank you.
All right, so we'll have that. We'll play a little bit of Rhyme or Reason. We'll come back. You'll listen to Black on Black Crime on Esprit Radio. Hey, George Duke passed. 5 decades of work from George Duke. So this is no rhyme, no reason. We'll be back after this quick break. You're listening to Black on Black right now.
We got the spirit. We're hot. We can't be stopped. We're going to beat them and bust them. The smallest moments can have the biggest impact on a child's life. Take time to be a dad today. Call or visit fatherhood.gov to learn more.
What's better, saving a bunch or not saving at all?
A bunch.
Okay, what would you buy with all this money you save?
I'd buy a changing machine so I could change my brother into a puppy.
Couldn't you just buy an actual puppy?
Yeah, but if my brother's a puppy, I could bring him to show and tell and say, hey, everybody, here's my puppy brother.
Well, when you say it like that, it makes perfect sense.
It's not complicated. Saving is better. Now at AT&T, trade up to iPhone 5. Get it now for $99.99 when you trade in your current smartphone.
The sound that shattered barriers, shaped our lives, and made us all move together comes to Broadway in Motown, the musical. The real story of how founder Berry Gordy and the whole Motown family created the soundtrack that changed America. The beat of a generation, the soul of a nation. Get ready, because here it comes. Motown, the musical. Previews begin March 11th.
Where does a great night out get even better? At the new Ruby Tuesday, with our freshly made lobster tail and steakhouse sirloin for only $14.99. Enjoy the tempting combination of sweet lobster paired with a perfectly seasoned sirloin, cooked just the way you like it and served with a free garden bar, all for only $14.99. But join us soon. A pairing this perfect won't last forever. The new Ruby Tuesday.
All right, welcome back to Black on Black Crime. That was George Duke, No Rhyme or Reason. You know, I guess I thought I'd bring us back in with a little bit more George Duke. And, you know, we're going to go straight into, I'm trying to remember, we did a Heartbeat Props before, and Heartbeat Props is just our concept of saying that we need to respect people while they're living opposed to when they pass away. So this is Heartbeat Props. KRS-One spoke at Fresno State, and he kind of talked about 40 years of history in hip-hop. And so we're going to let Shock G do the honors of Heartbeat Props and take it from their song from Digital Underground. So we'll be back with that. Thanks for listening. You're listening to Black on Black Crime.
In immense pop.
This is KRS-One.
There's no such thing as rich hip hop. Get it out of your mind. All these rappers talk about they rich songs. I'll speed the story up for you real quick. All of the rappers in the top 10 today will be like MC Hammer in 5 years. We have seen this already, and what I'm imparting to you is hip-hop, not rap. Those that only associate with rap is like knowing the Constitution of the United States without knowing the Declaration of Independence. It's like calling the name of Jesus and know nothing of the Bible. You could say Jesus all day. People know what you're talking about. But have you really read? Is the Holy Spirit really on you? This is the difference between hip-hop and rap. 1974, a gang member, New York had gangs, and New York had gangs like the Black Spades, the Savage Skulls, Savage Nomads, Young Skulls, Jolly Stalford. You had to actually be there to know that. The point is, though, is that New York had gangs, and a guy, one of the leaders of the Black Spades gang, one of the biggest gangs in New York, ruthless gang in New York, the leader of the gang got an advertisement from the United Nations, believe it or not. It didn't come to him. It was UNICEF put out a citywide writing contest. And they said, anybody who wins this writing contest gets a trip to Africa. So this gang member, leader, takes the test and writes this essay. He writes a whole essay on Africa. Wins the contest. They sent him to Africa. He gets to Africa. They used to call him Freight Train when he was in a gang. He was just running up on dudes. He gets to Africa. He meets a Zulu chief. The Zulu chief says, what y'all doing in America, you call gangs, we call tribes here. And the reason Africa has been colonized by Europe is because of tribal warfare. All you African Americans are playing yourselves with this competition for my block, your block. That guy Freight Train flew back to America and called himself Africa Bambaataa. When he got back to the United States with a new consciousness, he said to all the gangs in New York, now you got to understand what this means. All the gangs in New York, this one dude, Africa Bambaataa, said, you know what? There's no more gangs in New York. It's all called Zulu Nation now. And if you want to have anything to do with the streets of New York, Zulu Nation. All the gangs said, right, gang ended. All the gangs stopped in 1974. And so we get gangs again about 14, 15 years later. But Africa Bambaataa deaded the gangs in 1974 and called all the gangs Zulu Nation. All the gangs now put their rags aside, threw all that aside, and started studying what was called knowledge of fact.
Okay, that was Heartbeat Prop with KRS-One. We'll be back in a second.
Starting Sunday, this coming Sunday, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, a new show called Professional Style, where we talk about singles, professionals, parents, travel, lifestyle, and living. If you are a professional, if you're a single, you're a parent, or whatever your status in life, Professional Style, every Sunday night at 8 p.m. right here on Ask Kathleen Network.
There are so many fun things we all can do to be healthier, no matter who you are or where you are. So let's move.
Well, here we go. We're getting set to get underway.
Let's stretch in the grass.
Great play.
Let's play tag.
What a play.
Let's jump up and down.
Oh, what a way to finish it.
And most of all, let's eat better so that we have the energy we need to play an hour a day every day.
Everyone can play. Just go to letsmove.gov to learn more.
Welcome back to Black on Black Crime. I'm your host, Jerome. This playing Play at Your Own Risk is Afrika Bambaataa, if you wonder who Kara Russ was talking about, and our heartbeat prop. So I just wanted to tell you, you can go on YouTube, check out KRS-One, check out the whole lecture at Fresno State. He did a great job, 40 years of hip-hop, if you want to go check that out. All right, Finesse. I'm not saying... sure if you had a moment to check that out, but you know, we talked about how Cornell has a curriculum that Afrika Bambaataa is a adjunct professor there, and so, you know, at Ivy League, they're respecting the history of hip hop, and KRS kind of put it into some kind of context.
I love it, and it's well deserved. You, KRS fan, Kara, I promise I'm gonna call you. I would like to see some of these HBCUs. We have students who love hip hop. I don't understand why we don't have some of these courses need to be taught, and the history of the music should be on our own on our campus. That's something that has to be addressed. There's actually a HBCU guy wants to address that. Okay. But you know, props to KRS, 40 years. What he said is so true. 5 years from when you make it to the top, you'll be just like
NPM. Listen to this. He said at the beginning, you might want to thank a woman for the start of hip-hop anyway, because hip-hop pretty much came from, what is her name?
She is the owner. She was the owner of the Sugar Hill Records.
Well, she's the one who threw the party that Kool Herc, her younger brother Kool Herc, came in and created the whole style of playing a James Brown song, just a breakbeat, and then taking the needle off and then starting it back over. Right? And so he did that, KRS-One said he did that for 3 hours. And so he said that was in 73. So just the whole concept of hip-hop, when it comes down to it, I don't think anybody has a good line on that. But like you said, yeah, HBCU should be teaching this, but just like HBCUs historically in talking about black-on-black crime, in a sense that we distance ourselves from black people history because we want to learn somebody else's. It's a part of what the dysfunction is, right? It's like, well, we need to not focus on this stuff and we need to go somewhere else. Now Cornell University has the archives, what they claim is the largest archives for hip-hop and rap. And it's created from the crates of Afrika Bambaataa. It is a good thing.
That's great. I've got something
yes.
just came across my desk. We have to talk about it here, or let it be known, maybe we can talk about it. But, the National Black Association of Journalists was last week in Orlando. Hugh Douglas, who is a former NFL player, part of the ESPN family, got into it. All over on Fox, but according to the report on BigLeaf.com, Hugh Douglas was apparently greeted Friday when the altercation occurred. The report says that Douglas was trying to get on stage where DJ was playing and threatened to beat up Michael Smith, a colleague. It was on the same show, ESPN's Numbers Don't Lie. It was after threats were made that Smith tried to walk away, but Douglas, according to the report, grabbed him and called him two racial slurs, Uncle Tom and a house you-know-what. Prompting Smith to turn around and witnesses to break up. This is all over the Fox. Now, Hugh has been suspended, but this is what I'm talking about. We give them stuff and they run with it. So, being thrown in here now with this, they say that Douglas has been pulled off, Numbers Don't Lie, and the gregarious former pro athlete has not posted in his Twitter account since Friday. Fox adds this thing. This follows on the heels of Eagles wide receiver Riley Cooper being caught in another racial incident when video posted to YouTube showing him using the N-word in an argument with a security guard at a Kenny Chesney concert. Douglas was among those in the sports world to react online in a message Wednesday. Douglas tweeted, "Shout out to Riley Cooper for keeping it 100. At least now we know."
Who made that comment?
Douglas, Douglas made that comment to Riley.
Okay.
Hugh Douglas?
All right, so here.
Yes, Hugh Douglas. He made that comment to Riley. Shout out to Riley Cooper for keeping it 100. At least now we know. Meaning that at least we know that you're weak.
All right, Daniel, go ahead if you want to talk about this at all.
At least he just put him on blast. I mean, he just kind of one of those things that another twist of the knife, and now everybody knows where Riley Cooper stands, regardless of how they're going to try to clean this up and send him away to counseling, this, that, and the other. That's a part of his persona.
The problem is, here we are. We're the National Black Journalist meeting in Orlando. But here you call another brother out in public. You call him an Uncle Tom and a house, and now it's made public news, and it's on Fox.
Forget Fox.
I don't even know how I missed it.
I saw it, and it's posted on our page. But
is it?
Technically, I don't care. The issue is like they're going to run whatever they're going to run with, and so technically we have to take responsibility for every black person who does something that they should not be doing. So, I don't know what to tell you, but that's technically under our framework, black on black crime. If you do something criminal, you just do something criminal. We are not right. sitting here judging every black person just because they're black, just like Fox does. So forget them fools. And we are going to go to our Uncle Ruckus Watts, because now I'm about to call somebody a name. So we are going directly into that. Thank you, Finesse, for bringing up the N-word, because something else to happen at the National Association of Black Journalists. Of course, like Finesse said, they had their convention in Florida, in Orlando, right? Let me let the music come out, because it's Uncle Ruckus Watch.
That's my ringtone right there, boy. That's my ringtone.
So Oscar-nominated director Lee Daniels did Precious, the upcoming Butler, said that it's possible for white people, particularly in the Deep South, to really love black people and still call them the N-word. He said, "Forgive me. It was very strategic," Daniels told a group of reporters at the National Association of Black Journalists, "that when we did use it," and he's talking about in the movie, "it was used later on by Cuba Gooding Jr., who was the head butler, making fun of someone that did use it. Lyndon Johnson," you know, the president used the N-word a lot, so he's saying that Cuba Gooding used it because he's making fun of Lyndon Johnson. He said, "It was sort of kind of a joke that this guy uses it, so he says it and talks about it. It opens up, like Paula Deen, the concept of white people loving us and really loving us and feeling that it's fine to use the N-word. This fool, Lee Daniels, didn't use the N-word. He said the N-word. Now, he said that's how Johnson felt when he spoke about the president. He said he did something that was incredible for us, that's trying to be taken away from us right now, and yet he used that word like past the grits." Now, that was just racist too, by the way, Lee Daniels. He said, "Racism is a very hard thing to explain, especially in the South." That was Lee Daniels' response to, that's why he's making Uncle Ruckus Watch. You don't go on and say white people love you even when they say the N-word, because I love a lot of people and I don't call them the N-word. That is not just acceptable. Just because you're happy that some white people call you that. That's just my thought about that. I'll let Finesse go on this one.
Well, Esri hates it. I'm not saying it.
Yep.
Let me say this. Lee Daniels is wrong. Again, don't go in front of them. Don't do that. Keep stressing that you don't do that.
Well, Finesse, you did say that it's comfort around black journalists. So he was at the National Black Journalism Convention when he said this.
Who, Lee Daniels said that?
Yeah.
In front of, you know who else was there? It's other white folks there. Other white folks.
Oh, no, no doubt. Of course, they monitor the National Black Journalism Association.
You have to be smart about that. He wasn't smart about that. Now, and I'm not defending him, but it just depends. I state this and people don't want to hear it. I think Lee Daniels is from the South. If I'm not mistaken, I believe he's from the South. Somebody can check that. If he's from
we can free him. I'm sorry to hear that.
We can free him.
If he still feels like a slave.
That is, and I hate to say it, but it's the mindset among some black folks. I ain't saying it's right. You know how I feel about it. I know how you feel about it. And I'm not giving him a pass, but that is some messed up thing. And actually, but I've seen it done. And I'm going to leave it at that.
Daniel, do you want to comment on that story?
Well, I just think the word is so incendiary. Let's not throw it out there, even if we are doing it for shock value or for whatever motives.
No, we're not doing it for shock value. What we're saying is that Lee Daniels,
that's what I mean.
Because he's using it in the movie, The Butler, a lot. And so he's just saying it was a sign of the times. And it's okay because people can still love you if they call you the N-word.
Oh, no, sir.
That's Lee Daniels. That's
I don't know. I don't know where he got that.
I don't know. I got two words for you, Lee Daniels. Helsinki syndrome. Like, you can love your captors all you want to, and no matter how much they beat you down, but I say you need therapy. That would be my help.
Yeah.
Now,
there's a lot of them that need that.
Oprah has almost come into her Uncle Ruckus watch a couple of times, but the billionaire media mogul said when she was in Switzerland, she ran into racism because some shop clerk refused to show her this $38,000 handbag, right? She's one of the richest women in the world.
$38,000.
Right. Wow. A Jennifer Aniston bag by somebody. Now, she knows Jennifer Aniston. She could have just went and asked her for it. But anyway, Oprah
on Saturday. Is that Jennifer Aniston bag?
Yes, that's what it was. She asked her to see it. Yes. Oprah earned $77 million at the end of June last year, right? That's according to Forbes. She said...
I ain't going to never get on the Oprah show.
You ain't never getting on there. Well, she's backing Lee Daniels. This is all tied in together about saying it's okay on one hand, but Oprah said you can't be my friend if you use the N-word. But then she made a comment that she felt like a rapper being on the scene because there was so much N-word and drinking and stuff on the... You know what I mean? Like, Oprah said that in an interview, but I'm not going on Oprah today. Oprah said, this woman said to her, no, you don't want to see that one. You want to see this one because that one costs too much. You will not be able to afford it. So the Swiss tourism officials came out and apologized and said they're sorry for what happened to Oprah. And she, what about all the other black people who are there? But the rich black lady, we're sorry for that. And Oprah, she just recently went on Entertainment Tonight, spoke about this, and it was reported earlier in the week. But the assistant recently came out in a UK newspaper and said that Oprah lied.
Yeah,
she lied about
that this morning. Yeah,
but you know what the beauty of white folks are? I'm sorry, she lied, and we should be okay. Into Knowledge in the chat room said, I would have bought the store, or that she should have bought the store. But
didn't this happen to Oprah once before in France or something like that?
Yeah, it happened in Paris. Oh, was it Paris? Okay.
But Oprah also goes around and acts as if she does not experience racism. Okay, what's the problem? What happened?
She typically doesn't, but
I said maybe she should stop taking Gail with her.
Gail is not poor.
I didn't say she was.
Not anymore.
Oh, okay, never mind. Gail was never poor. Okay. Since you guys are committing black-on-black crimes, let me clear up on Gail's behalf. Gail was Oprah's rich friend, right? Gail grew up with a nanny. So when they worked together, Gail was the anchor of the news station, and Oprah did weather or something. So Gail... Gail was Oprah's rich friend. She never heard from money.
Times changed.
That don't mean she hurting for money. Finesse, stop committing black-on-black crimes. Don't get muted.
I said she got CBS money.
All right, now, we got to ignore Finesse and his ignorance on that one. That's just crazy. Don't say stuff like that, Finesse. Because you know what? That's just above the pale. That's why you get muted so much. So there is a new study that came out for people who want to justify their racism. So it says being more intelligent does not stop people from being racist. It's simply better to cover it up. Now, this study that was done by the University of Michigan, the researcher said that he examined attitudes of 20,000 white respondents from this nationwide survey. He said he took a look at their cognitive abilities, how they process information, and showed their attitudes towards black people. He said they were asked about their racial bias pretty much. And he said, just in the story, he said, like, you can take, for example, housing, right? That housing, nearly all the whites surveyed or that he talked to with advanced cognitive abilities agree that whites have no rights to segregate neighborhoods. But he added, nearly half the whites allow prejudicial practices to continue rather than support open laws on housing to ethnic minorities. Now, he said the study showed that racism and prejudice were not simply the result of low mental ability. Instead, they were the result of a need for a dominant group to legitimize and protect their privilege and to show social position over other social groupings. So in that study, which was at the American Sociological Association, he said, in modern America, this means that intelligent whites say all the right things about racial inequities in principle, but they just don't actually do anything that would eliminate their privilege. Any effort pointed out to eliminate these privileges strike them as grave injustice. Now, that goes to your point earlier, Finesse, about the fact that you have, you know, something happened with the two reporters, and Fox runs it like some little kid lost in the well because they want to show that black people are acting up. They want that comparison. But when we call them on their racism, they throw up something racist to say to try to justify their racism. This study says that the intelligent people do that.
Yeah. I mean we didn't need somebody else to tell us that.
See, we didn't, but the reason I read that story is because some people like white folk studies. They like white folks to say, hey, just like who was the Dave Chappelle, I guess it was, what he said. Apparently, 60 Minutes said that they're beating up, police officers are beating up black kids like hotcakes. Then people are like, man, it must be true. 60 Minutes picked it up. You could ask black people that question.
Yeah.
So in the world of entertainment news, I wanted to also do this story before we get out of here, is that Harvard professor who almost made our Uncle Ruckus watch. A lot of people almost made that. He is executive producer and writer. Henry Louis Gates has a new program coming on PBS called The African American Many Rivers to Cross with Henry Louis Gates. It's a 6-hour PBS documentary series that traces 500 years of black history and tells the whole sweeping story of African American history. He said no one tries to do that. That was what we were trying to do. It was crazy enough to do. And he says that he goes back 100 years prior to the first slaves coming to America. Now, he says the very first Africans to come to North America were free, accompanied by Ponce de Leon, who arrived in Florida in 1513, more than a century before the first 20 Africans arrived in Jamestown in 1620. So Gates said nobody was talking about those first 107 years of African-American history. So we want to tell that story, talk about how they survived and how they eventually thrived. He said that this isn't the history of George Washington. It's the history of his slaves, Harry Washington. This isn't a story of American Bandstand. It's a story of Soul Train. I don't know why he said that. But anyway, he said that this African-American history of Many Rivers to Cross premieres October 22nd. So if you get a chance to see that, that's going to be on PBS. What do you want to say, Finesse?
October, you said it's October 27th?
Yeah, October 22nd is when it's going to premiere.
October 22nd.
It's called, the African-Americans Many Rivers to Cross. That should be pretty interesting, but he is going to cover he's going to go way back and cover on up.
Well, I figure, I'll probably get a copy to review for the Baltimore Times, so keep everyone posted.
Yes, definitely do that, because I'm interested in this one. And another story, the editors of Ebony and Ebony Magazine has devoted their September 2013 issue
to comprehensive coverage of the aftermath of Trayvon Martin trial, including the creation of different dramatic covers. Now, the editors say that it says that it underscores the magazine's commitment to highlight what some are calling the biggest civil rights case of the century. Now, these three covers feature black male celebrities and their sons with hoodies, filmmaker Spike Lee and his son Jackson, Boris Kodjo, his son Nicholas. Other spotlights are Dwayne Wade and his two sons, Zaire and Zion. And the fourth cover is Trayvon Martin's family's parents, Sabrina Fulton, Tracy Martin, and his older brother, Javaris Fulton. So it just says African Americans across the country clenched their hearts with the news of their acquittal. So our president, a man who could have been Trayvon's father, spoke plainly about it. This is what Ebony is saying. Plain about racial profiling and injustice faced by black males in this country. So they put up, they said that we've also talked to the Martin family, we've talked to legal experts, and we have to talk to you, Black America. We stand committed to sharing the black people's perspective with the world. That's right. Ebony's actual response. Did you see the covers yet, Finesse?
I've seen some of them. So I'm actually doing an article on them and on the new look, the new design of the Jet magazine as well. So I have seen a lot of the new issues for both magazines, yes.
Okay. Daniel, did you get a chance to see the covers at all? I know they're hitting the blogs and stuff.
No, I hadn't seen them at all.
All right, so we posted a couple of those pictures on the show page. So if you want to click through those, you can see them. And on social media, of course, we had a lot of racist stuff about these covers. So here's what I'm really proud of Ebony for. I don't know if you saw this, Finesse, but Ebony had a response to some of the racist stuff that they got. The Tea Party of America was planning to boycott the magazine to protest the covers. Now, you want to talk about Fox News and what they were trying to do to highlight these covers. So here's what Ebony's response was via Twitter. They said, "We have so many Tea Party readers and followers, to lose all zero of them due to our September cover will devastate Ebony." That was Ebony's official response. Thank you, Ebony. I don't know if you guys saw that, but I was happy that Ebony actually responded in a manner that showed that they weren't afraid to deal with racist people. That was just my thing.
Well,
all
right. you have new PR folks in charge of Ebony and Jet Magazine, and they really have a vision for the future. So it's not surprising to me they answered, because I've spoken to both of them. They are up to date, and they know what they're doing.
Yeah, you said it wasn't shocking to you that they answered?
No, it wasn't. From talking with them, no, I wasn't.
You know, finally, those magazines are getting, I shouldn't say finally they're getting some backbone, but I'm glad they have enough edge to them now that they feel like they can say that. When people step out of bounds, go ahead.
Let me say this. Jet Magazine has seen a 17% increase in sales. People are buying Jet Magazine and subscriptions. So the theory that black magazines can't exist and still thrive is a myth. So I'm saying I ain't making poking at no other magazine, but all I'm saying is stop selling out.
There's no reason for it. All right. Now, I just want to thank you for tuning in. You're listening to Black on Black Crime. We're here with Finesse and Daniel. We're here every Monday, 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. You can check us out or check us out on Facebook. That would be our page. Go like it, BOBC Show on Facebook. We'll see you again next week. All right, Finesse. All right, Daniel.
All right, brother. Y'all take care.
Stay black.